Probably got a piece of scripture that you got given on the way in this morning. You should all have one of three translations of Psalm 23. Just hold on to that, put it in your pocket, keep it safe. We're going to be using that soon. So, it's been a difficult week. Who here has had a tough week? Just out of interest. A few hands. Who had a tough week the week before? Or the week before that? If people have got a hand up for all of that, then we need to pray for you specifically. But my point is that as people, as members of the human race, we go through difficult times. We go through hardships, we go through trials, we go through testing. There are mountaintops and there are valleys in life, aren't there? And we all know that. And being a Christian doesn't exclude you from that. Being a Christian doesn't give you immunity to suffering. Being a Christian doesn't give you immunity to the difficult stuff that's going on. So personally, as a bloke and as a follower of Jesus, I need to be hearing him. Personally, I need to be connected to him. Because I can tell you, once a week on a Sunday morning isn't enough for me. I love this. I love what we have. I love the different expressions of church that meet around this town and around this world. But this isn't enough for me. This is amazing, but it's limited. It's an hour and a half or so. And there are so many other hours in the week. We've got an opportunity to connect with God. The truth is that God is speaking to us all the time. But often we're not listening. I love that verse that Jude spoke about earlier, about Elijah. And sometimes we're waiting for him to speak in a storm or in an amazing, tangible way, an audible voice or a miracle or something. But often he whispers. And I think the point of that is that we need to be quiet to be able to hear him. So this morning, the point of having the chairs not set out is that we're not, like Helen says, we're not on autopilot. But also, this isn't a sermon this morning. I'm not going to be preaching to you this morning. I'm going to be leading you through something that we got taught a little while ago, which is transformational. It's too good to hold to ourselves. It's amazing. Many of you have probably heard of Lectio Divina. It's just a hand up if anyone's heard of that. It might be spelt or said slightly differently, but it's an ancient practice by the Benedictine monks. It goes way back to the 3rd century, and it's a way of listening to God. So this morning, we're going to intentionally listen to God. So what I didn't want is for us to be sitting in our usual rows to come and to be entertained. Now, I love entertaining you. I love speaking. And those that speak here love to speak on a Sunday morning and share what God's spoken to us. But way more important, God wants to speak to us personally. God wants to give us direct communication. Not through someone else, but through himself. He loves to speak to his people. So how do we connect with God? On this retreat that we went on a little while ago, there were some amazing guys that were leading us through different tools, if you like, different practices, many of them ancient. And as a new church expression, the Vineyard's been around since the early 80s. I think it's really important that we don't just throw out the baby in the bathwater, is that we keep hold of the special stuff that the church has been using for centuries and centuries. Ways of just fostering intimacy with Jesus. So it's nothing new, like I say. It's an ancient practice by the Benedictine monks. It's not a sermon this morning, and it's definitely not a Bible study, so you can all relax. Essentially, Lectio Divina is about reading, meditating, praying, and then contemplating. And we're going to be doing that on Psalm 23. So how does this work? What's the process? This is definitely on, and I'm definitely pressing the right button. But I notice the USB bit is in the bottom of the clicker. So Lord, do a miracle, or use our amazing team. There we go. That's quite small, isn't it? Can you see that? So the first stage, ready. We ready ourselves. Find a place where you can be quiet and undisturbed. I appreciate this isn't the ideal scenario, but I just want to lead you through something that you can take home and use in your personal lives. You choose a brief passage of scripture, just something short. Quiet your heart, sit in silence, and ask God to meet with you. We're going to do this in a minute. That's the first stage. Second stage is read. Read the passage slowly, letting your awareness rest on each word. Read the passage again, out loud. It becomes different when you start to read it out loud. Make it personal. Insert your name. Make it your own. And listen for the small, still voice of God. Be aware of any word or phrase that catches your attention. Reflect. Meditate. Reflect on the word or the phrase that caught your attention. What is it that God's saying? Reflect on that. As you reflect, listen and allow God to speak to you. Be aware of any emotion or memories the word or the phrase may stir up. Be in tune. Listen to that. Be aware. Respond. Respond to the word or the phrase. Ask God why this caught your attention. Communicate with him. Dialogue with him. He loves to talk. We need to listen. What's he trying to say to us? Dialogue with God about what you're feeling or hearing. Take time to sit and listen for God's response. And then rest. How many of us here are good at resting? One predictable hand. Rest in God's presence. Yeah, John, you're amazing at this. Make time to rest in God's presence. Wordless, quiet rest in the presence of God is called contemplation. Who likes the sound of that? It's available. We just rush around so much. Speaking to myself. So can I have my three readers to come up here, please? You've got your... Yeah. Okay.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. He helps me down what honors him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest. blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life, and afterwards I will live with you forever in your home.
God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life.
So, Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us, Lord, for we are listening. And now we're going to spend 10 minutes in silence, just reflecting on the word or the phrase that God might have highlighted. Okay, that's 10 minutes. And then if we were doing this at home, you'd spend time resting, just contemplating. So we've done like a real kind of like skim through version there. But I'd love for anybody here that's willing and able just to share what they felt God speaking to them. There will be no criticism or no critiquing of what you said. Nobody will say anything about what you said, but it would just be interesting to hear what people felt God speaking to them about. What's that process like? What did God share with you? Would anyone like to go first? Hold on. Start again.
Started to kind of think about it and just let God speak to me. He started showing me pictures. With me, he kind of shows me a lot of pictures. And I saw a ship. I saw chains breaking. And I just felt like God saying, don't be frightened of chains breaking. You know, don't resist the breaking of the chains. And then I saw a ship. And he said, you've been trying to sail your ship on dry land. And as the chains were breaking, I just saw the ship moving down into the water. And he just said that was mainly all of it, really. And then it just seemed to make sense that, you know, instead of trying to worry about, the water, I was given a word from somebody quite a long time ago about walking on water. And I looked down at the shoes and I saw my shoes with it. It just says, go walk, and I had my shoes off. He said, the thing is, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to take your shoes off. You're going to have to rely on me. And then as he was speaking to me, he just said, come on, you know you can trust me anyway. So Brilliant. It's not that difficult.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, Carl. Who else? We're going to try and do like 1 minute so we can move around for a few people.
You served me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. And I thought, why does it need to be 6 courses? That's way too extravagant. You know, he doesn't just bless you. He blesses you majorly, extravagantly, more than you need and definitely more than you deserve. And why does he do it in front of my enemies? I mean, he could bless you anyway, but he does it in front of my enemies, and that sort of stumped me rather.
That's fascinating, thank you.
I've been having treatment for something called burning mouth syndrome, which can be caused by being stressed out for too long, which I have been. And one of the things they've been asking me to do is something called mindfulness, where you sit down and you just are quiet twice a day and you just concentrate on your breathing and being aware of the present moment. And I think that this really enlarges on that. Mm. And, I've sort of found help with that, and it does calm my burning mouth down. But the scripture, the words I felt were for me was, you revive my drooping head. And that's what the Lord alone can do, really. I think we try to fix our own drooping heads, but he's par excellence at that. And I found it really relaxing to do this and to concentrate on God.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you. Anyone else?
To me, the first man, the Lord is my shepherd. And
hold on, email.
The Lord is my shepherd. And for me, that just every time that I sometimes get into quandaries about different things in life, often he does come and he says, fear not, I'm here, I'm right here, come to me. And this morning he just reiterated all of that. It's so true that we can turn to other people, and yes, they can help and be sympathetic, but to carry you through the mind is the Lord. Mm. He is the one that can settle and give you peace.
Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you,
Matt.
Yeah, kind of following on from that in verse 1, the bit that stood out to me was the I have everything I need, not everything I want or hope for one day, it's everything I need.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I had I lack nothing. And when we were on holiday, Tim said to me, "You're like a crab. You do that all the time. Right, and I don't even realise I'm doing it. My hands are like that." It's almost like I'm thinking, right, what am I going to do now? What's next? And he spoke, and he showed me that picture of that, my hands being very crab-like, grabbing for stuff. And then he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. And I just felt that real calming of my soul. And just, yeah, I don't lack anything. I know that, really. And that he gives me absolutely everything I need.
Thank you. Yeah, Pastor.
I'd borrowed Janie this Living Bible edition, and I just went through the words here. "What, even while walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way." I thought that was wonderful. Guarding and guiding all the way. And then, "You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow." I thought that wonderful.
Thank you, mate. Give your hand up.
The verse that stood out for me was, "He leads me beside the quiet streams." And it reminded me of a time when we were in Turkey. I don't really know how to pronounce it, but we pronounce it Pamukkale, where there's the Roman baths, and it was a baking hot day, and we were wanting to get to the top of the mountain, and it's all this white stone, and it looked so hot. And I said to Carl, "I'm not going up there." And we did. And when we were sort of halfway, well, at the bottom of the hill, we realized that actually the path that leads up the hill wasn't dry and white and the sun beating down. It was actually a river. And it was just sort of, we made our way up this hill, walking in the river, and it just reminded me of that. It was just so refreshing.
Thank you. So we've got time for three more, I reckon. So hands high. Dickon and Jude, and then one more after that.
The verse, "Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure." I don't know about you, I'm easily distracted. And I just had this image of sheep ignoring the shepherd's voice and wandering off the path and then finding itself stuck on a cliff edge. And Jesus is God's shepherd's crook, just grabs me round the neck and pulls me back onto the path. And it's a picture of real assurance that I can go off the path, I can get lost, but God is never far away. He's actually right there with his crook ready to grab me back.
Thank you, mate.
I love this version from the Living Bible. Two verses, really. "He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams." But then on into, "He gives me new strength. He helps me do what honours him the most." I love that, because so often I'm busy trying to do what honours him the most in my own strength, which is a complete waste of time. So it's stepping into that he wants to give us. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
I think there's three things that came out to me. First of all, I lack nothing. That he guides me, and then I have no need to fear. So I just spent a few minutes just sort of thinking about what are the areas of fear in my life, and Lord sort of helping me to focus in on those and then look at it. I lack nothing in those areas because he will guide me. So that's just wonderful. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you. So who found that easy? Who found that easy? Who found that quite challenging? Who would probably never bother doing it again? Who might give it a go? That's awesome. I just want to encourage you that if you follow that practice on your own, let's go through it again. Ready, then read. Slowly. Go through it a couple of times. Have a couple of different translations. Reflect, meditate on the word or the phrase that God threw up. I mean, how many of us here know Psalm 23? And yet we could study it all our life, I reckon. And the Holy Spirit will continue to draw something new and fresh every time. Respond. Speak to God. Dialogue with him. Lord, what are you speaking to me about? Why am I feeling this? Why am I hearing this? And take time to listen for his response. And then rest. Rest in his presence. Rest. Godly rest in his presence is called contemplation. And then there's actually one more, which is return. And then as you go through your day, keep returning to the passage and your reflection. Keep returning with the intention of integrating the word into your life. So I hope that was helpful. God loves us. He wants to speak to us. You know the old proverb, you give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. You teach him to fish and he can be fed for a lifetime. God wants to feed us. So hopefully this is a way that we can nurture that intimacy, that communion with him. So Father, I thank you that you love us, Lord. That you're not so distant that you don't speak to us, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word. May we treasure it. May we love it, Lord. But may we love the author more than the print. May we get to know you, Jesus. May we fall more in love with you. Would you open our eyes? Would you reveal to us more about your character? More about your goodness? And would you restore us, Lord, when we're in that valley? Would you guide us, Father, as we're walking through life? Would you give us rest, Lord, as we contemplate you and all your goodness? In Jesus' name, amen.